Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Good morning, Sam. It's not even 9 o'clock on a Monday morning and we're doing this. It's a bit early for me.
What's bad is we started this podcast for a laugh because we both do a bit of professional radio broadcasting where there are certain obligations like turning up on time, having not to swear.
Doing it more than delete once a fortnight.
hitting the news on time, all this shit, right? And that's what we thought, why don't we do... We like talking about stuff, but we don't like having to be places on time.
Yeah.
Or we don't like having to remember not to swear. Let's do a podcast. Now, we've suddenly accidentally professionalised this podcast. It's ever since like The Economist did that sponsorship deal with us.
Yeah, that was the end of it, wasn't it?
Next thing you know, you and I, even though when we're doing it remotely, like today... Right, and we're both in our respective homes at opposite ends of the country. We're going to start wearing ties and jackets.
We'll start putting it out on video as well, getting cameras set up.
This defeats the whole point. I'm thinking we should just shut this down because we've accidentally turned this into a thing.
We've ruined it, haven't we?
8:45 is our call time this morning. It's stupid. Anyway,
I'm on day two of a hangover as well. It hasn't shifted yet from Saturday night, so.
Not good. How did that happen?
Well, I went to see Madness. I went to see Madness with a group of mates. You can just imagine the rest, can't you?
Yeah, so, it's not really a sedate kind of a prospect, a Madness gig, is it?
On a Saturday night. So that's me. I'm still a little bit sluggish, let's say. What should we start with?
I'll just say my thought for the day.
Okay.
My thought for the weekend is football is brilliant. And the Premier League truly is the best league in the world. I know that's a bit of a cliche, but it's basically true.
Is this because West Ham won again?
You watch Match of the Day, and all it is just loads of... It's not just because West Ham won again. It's just fucking loads of amazing goals, and every game's great.
Yeah.
And every team, even the shit ones, have world-class players who can fucking curl in worldies.
Yeah.
That never used to be the case. Now it's just like you take it for granted. There were so many great games at the weekend and so many amazing goals. And you just think, fucking hell, we're spoilt here. I wonder if it'll be like that after Brexit.
Nah, it'll not be. It'll be back to meat and potatoes. And all the players will be white and they'll all have British names.
Fat.
And yeah.
They'll be so desperate, they'll have to bring certain players out of retirement.
Yeah.
To fill it, to make up the numbers. So people like Mickey Quinn will have to come back out of retirement. And there'll be a rule about only one foreign player, and even that has to be Jan Mulby. Everyone has to bid for Jan Mulby at the beginning of the season because you can only have one foreign player in the whole league, and it's Mulby.
They get to share him round, you get him for a weekend at a time.
Yeah. Oh, it's our Mulby week this week, so I've got high hopes.
It's like playing a joker.
Yeah, I play my Mulby.
Extra chance of winning.
And the only reason they'll allow Mulby is because Mulby has a Scouse accent.
Yeah, exactly it, yeah.
He's as much, like they say in Star Wars, like I think Obi-Wan says about Darth Vader, he goes, he's more machine than man now. That's what they said about Jan Mulby. He's more Scouse than Danish now.
Shall we look at the Raheem Sterling thing? Because that's what everyone's talking about, isn't
it? Well, all right. But the thing is, as you're always at pains to remind me, we can't be getting too serious or heated on this podcast. And you and I will both have very strong, similar opinions on the Raheem Sterling thing. So I'll say that as a caveat. Because more not for the listener, but for you, because I know you don't like it if we become serious.
Well, we touched on it last time. There was a Sterling controversy about 3 months ago, and nothing's changed since then.
No.
You know, it was an appalling act of racism. The media is inherently racist, and they've picked Sterling out as some kind of target to repeatedly bash over the head. And anybody that says anything else is full of shit.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that covers it, basically. I think what's more, I mean, what's interesting about some of the responses I've read and seen on Twitter from people, ignorant people, is it's very easy for thick idiots to condemn the horrible Chelsea fan who was clearly saying racist abuse at Sterling, because that's easy for them to understand and condemn as racism.
Yeah.
When Raheem Sterling in his Instagram post broadens that out and says that is just the top of the tip of the iceberg, and actually it's part of a much wider, more insidious problem.
Yeah.
Right. And that is reflected in the way in which the media report on young black players, for example. Right. That is a young bloke who probably isn't particularly well educated, because he's most footballers spend most of their youth playing football rather than getting a formal education. Right. It is him displaying a huge amount of intelligence and insight to the way the world works and the media works that other people in the media themselves can't fucking see, because they're all going, no, it's racist to shout racist abuse at a black player. I get that. I'll condemn that. But don't start saying that there are other forms of racism that are less obvious or explicit, because I can't get my head around that.
Yeah, it's too complicated.
And if you start trying to suggest that, that to me is just political correctness gone mad. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, Raheem Sterling has been portrayed systematically from the first moment he came into the public eye as some sort of like rude boy, you know, sort of with vague gangsterish sort of leanings, flashy, over
Brush,
the top,
arrogant.
In a way that a young white player would not be portrayed in the same way.
How dare he have money and spend it on things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For being incredibly talented at football.
So, you know, there is, and I say some, you know, I work in the media, you work in the media. You know, it is racist, especially football media. Like, there are whole broadcast outlets, whole newspapers, you know, you look at their sports coverage and it's almost entirely staffed by white blokes.
Yeah.
And therefore, when an issue like this arises, there is a sort of a resistance to having any kind of point of view that is sort of sympathetic with someone like Raheem Sterling.
We're not saying that all white men are racist. We're just saying that white men are usually incapable of seeing racism when it's not overtly in their face.
That's exactly it. Well put. I mean, yeah, exactly. Of course not all white men are racist. That goes without saying. But it is hard, isn't it, to have a full perspective on issues like this.
It doesn't affect you personally.
It doesn't affect you personally, and everyone who you work with is coming from a similar point of view as yourself.
Plus, as well, it would have been easy for Sterling to have put out some kind of statement that had been drafted by a PR person from Manchester City, but he didn't. He sat down and he's written that himself, and you know, it's a brutally honest piece of writing as well.
Yeah. It's reminded me to watch that Out of Their Skin documentary that you recommended last time.
Yeah, exactly. Well worth a look on ITV.
So we can all get a bit more perspective on what it's like to be black within the footballing community in this country.
Yeah, and it's definitely not going away, is it?
Talking points!
Let's move on to the Predictions League, unfortunately, Sam. It has been a diabolical weekend for the human race. And a fantastic week for the mechanoids.
Well, you know, fucking, have you seen ResultsBot has started making big claims about how there is a subtle racism towards robots and mechanoids in our output here on Top Flight
it's
Time
not
Machine?
It's subtle, it's blatant, and it's fucking justified.
And he's going, if you walk into the Top Flight Time Machine offices, everyone is a human. Everyone is a human. They don't have perspective on what it's like to be a robot, on the prejudice that we experience every day of our lives.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. And he's trying to form some sort of kick it out, but for robots. I don't know. Good luck to him. But listen, all I would say about that results bot is it's not because you're a robot. It's because you're a cunt.
I think what he said was... I will continue to prove them wrong by predicting 1-0 wins and triumphing in the prediction league. So he's just kind of saying, you know, I don't care about your robot racism. Living well is the best revenge, he said. And he's gone out there and he's knocked it out of the park this weekend. I'm not going to go through all the results because it's too humiliating. But basically, I scored 1 point out of a possible 15 from our five prediction matches. You scored 2 points, Sam. Barely any better. Results bought, 6 points.
Fuck.
So that puts him on 46. I'm in second place on 41. You're in third place on 38. I thought we were turning it around. I thought we were catching up on him. But no, he's taunted us, basically. He's let us get within a little bit of touching distance, and he's just streaked ahead again with a bunch of 1-0s.
It's still not Christmas, though, Andy. I do feel that you panic very early all the time. I mean, those points could still be... You know, that is not a gap that's so big it can't be closed.
Well, I know you keep saying that, then the gap keeps getting bigger and bigger each week. So I'm not a robot. I'm just a human, but I can see I know about graphs and about prediction and kind of patterns and things like that, and I can see which way the graph's going here, and it doesn't look good for the human race.
You pathetic humans. you understand nothing of predictions or graphs or statistics. You are so weak-minded with your emotions and unnatural urges.
The Delaney one keeps talking about Christmas. Yes, I say bring on Christmas. You will be at your worst. You will be lazy and drunk and fattened. And then I will triumph further.
We robots do not celebrate these absurd rituals. When you are eating your Just Brazils, I will be predicting.
1-0! 1-0! 1-0! Oh, man, we're
the
doomed.
Fucker.
We're doomed. I haven't really got any massive talking points from the weekend's football. I did enjoy Rafa Benitez going in the hoof after Yedlin was given a red card, quite rightly. I think he thought that Lascelles was going to suddenly become a gazelle, almost. Lascelles a gazelle, and dash across and intercept the shot. Nah, that was never going to happen. So, quite right. That's my talking
gazelle.
Point
I like
for the
that.
Weekend.
Any other animals that rhyme with players, we'll take that. We'll take that on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. That could be a separate side podcast, but it could introduce more David Attenborough stuff into things as well, which might not be the best thing to do legally.
We haven't heard anything back on our David Attenborough taunts, have we?
There's been nothing legally, nothing official. No. I did watch Dynasties last night, and there wasn't any oral sex in among the animals.
Because he's saving it all up.
So I think that's just...
Posthumous film, yeah.
That just makes our point stand up even more. Anything you want to talk about from the football at the weekend?
No, I mean, I went to West Ham Palace. I really enjoyed myself. I expected us to lose because, you know, West Ham. And yet... We won. Simple as that. There was some great goals, and Andy Carroll's back, which is tremendously exciting. Yeah, but I mean, Andy Carroll, when he comes back, I mean, he won't be around for long, obviously, but when he does make his little cameos every season, it's brilliant to have Andy Carroll in your team.
Yeah.
Because he's just fucking mad, and he does all the things he expects. It is a bit like the 80s, because it's like a Mick Harford type character or a Cyril Regis or something like that. Just a big mad bastard.
Yeah.
Who just fucking makes things exciting and does loads of headers and fouls and just madness.
In the post-Brexit football scene that we were talking about, Andy Carroll's going to be the most prized player of all.
Yeah, he will rule. He will rule. Because, of course, the pitches will all go back to being mud baths again.
Yeah.
Which means you'd have to keep kicking it in the air rather than on the ground. Which
yeah,
is why you need a Carroll.
Mm. Sky
the
crimes.
Only man who can pass the ball on the ground in muddy conditions is Jan Mulby, of course.
If you've got Mulby and Carroll in your team, you're going to win all the trophies.
You're laughing.
You're going to hoover them up. I think as well, when it comes to the time when Andy Carroll does have to retire, and he will, unfortunately, probably through injury, he should be regenerated and played by a new footballer.
Oh, yeah,
like
that's
Doctor
a good
who,
idea. Yeah.
So that we've always got Andy Carroll forever. That's my best idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think post-Brexit, it's going to be hard to carry on without at least two or three Andy Carrolls.
Yeah.
So definitely. That's my only observation. This is it!
I've been reading a book over the last week about Sunderland managers.
Ooh.
Yeah, a book. Oh, get a load of me. Not even an audio book. I've been reading it with me eyes.
And it's not even a Roy Keane book.
It's not even a Roy Keane book. It's interviews with various Sunderland managers from the 1980s onwards.
Great.
And the first chapter is Ken Knighton, who was our manager for about 2.5 years, but he got us promoted. And he's talking about his playing career. He was a Sheffield Wednesday player. And his manager at the time was Len Ashurst, who then became the Sunderland manager a few years later, but that's not relevant. He talks about when he was at Sheffield Wednesday and Len Ashurst brought in first-team coach who was a Royal Marine called Tony Toms.
Yes.
Now then, here we go. he says, I've been out for a drink for a couple of times with Tony Toms, and he's the kind of guy who fills a room. He has an aura around him, and subsequently headed up the private security operation for Madonna and the boxer Amir Khan. Oh, ooh. Now here we go. Knight and Laughs have been reminded of Tony Toms' impact in the Owls dressing room. He says, the funniest thing was, and I was still a player when he came in, he got all of the players in the boardroom, and Len explained Tomsy's background as an ex-Marine and asked, do you want to say anything, Tony? Tomsy just stood up. He was behind a table and he just put his hands on the surface and did a handstand on the table and did six press-ups like that and then sat down and said, no, not really. Yes.
Tony Toms.
He says he didn't have a clue about football, but he was a good right-hand man for Len. He was a real character.
What era was this?
This will have been mid-70s.
Fucking hell, I wonder if Tony Toms is still around.
Well, he's been working for Amir Khan, so he probably is. So let's not say anything too untoward about him.
Jalapeño.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
I've got to be careful about naming names here, but I was there's a guy I've met a couple of times who's former Special Forces, not my best friend Chris Ryan, another guy, and
definitely not Chris Ryan.
it isn't, but it's a guy who.
Why are you winking at me, Sam?
No, it wasn't Chris Ryan. It's a guy who I don't know him that well, but I've encountered him two or three times because he does security for celebrities.
Right.
So on various occasions, I've been like interviewing someone for a magazine or what have you, or at an event.
Right.
And this person has been there. So one time, many years ago, I was in Dublin for St. Patrick's Day doing a story for a magazine.
Yeah.
And there was this famous celebrity there. And this guy, and I was there for a whole weekend, the same hotel as the celebrity. And this guy was working as his security guard. And because there was a lot of hanging around, I got to know this bloke. And
yeah.
One night, he told me an amazing story about how... he went... He just opened up to me and my mate. I was there with another bloke. And he opened up to us one night and said, yeah, I'd said something like, you know, I've been obviously asking all the, you must be really hard. You ever beaten up someone really bad? But, you know, like in real life, like over a parking space in like Sainsbury's car park or something. Because if I was trained like you, I'd be doing that all the time. And, you know, they're like, they don't really want to serve it all up to you too quick. And then he went... I can't remember how it came up, but he said, I mean, he goes, you have got to control your temper when you've had when you've been highly trained. He went, I was on the motorway with my son, and there was a boy racer kept cutting me up. And he goes, in the end, we had such a ding-dong that we pulled over into the hard shoulder. And he got out of his car and started storming towards us, thought it was a bit of a hard nut with his arms out. And I said to my son, wait here. He went, now, I got out of the car, he said, and that's the last thing I remember. He goes, I blacked out. I blacked out, but when I came round, he goes, I was standing there, and the bloke was just a bloody mess in like a ditch by the side of the road. He went, my son was crying and my knuckles were covered in blood. He goes, and I just got back in the car and drove off and said to my son not to tell anyone what had happened. He goes, to be on. And I said, well, what condition did you leave him in? Was he all right? He goes, I don't know whether he was alive or dead. But let's just say that ever since when there's been an unexpected knock on my front door, I've always thought, that's it. It's
here
coming
it comes.
Back.
Yeah.
Horrible, really. I mean, what I've told there is a story about someone who was potentially murdered someone.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing about it, which is awful.
Yeah.
But it was just the way he opened up about it and claims that he blacked out.
He probably didn't murder him.
No, because it would. If it was a murder, it would have been a really big story. It was probably
We could do one of them podcasts that are really popular about cold cases.
Oh,
called murder cases. We could start with that one, couldn't we? We could retrace all the steps and go to the scene and everything.
I'm Sam Delaney. I am Andy Dawson. And once again, welcome to Cold Case.
Lay by murder squad.
Every year in the UK, more than 40 bodies are found dead in ditches by lay-bys. The cases are often left unresolved by our overstretched police force. That's why we have taken it upon ourselves to solve them. Yeah, that's a good idea. I was about to tell you another story about a murder. Oh, yeah. So there was a guy who... This definitely is a lie, but it's a brilliant lie.
Good.
There was a guy... Let's call him... Because I've got into trouble recently about naming characters from my younger days. So I'm going to change his name and call him Dave the Liar.
Okay.
Just know that this bloke's nickname was followed by the words The Liar. Because he was an exceptional, the most audacious liar. And one of the best lies Dave the Liar ever told was, he was telling me and my brother about the date he'd been on. And we went, how'd that date go? And he said, oh, it was great. It was going really well. On the way back, we walked down by the arches, you know, down there by the train station. Yeah. He went, some tramp came out of the shadows in the dark and said, you got a spare fag, mate? He goes, I pulled out. I had a fresh box of B&H. He goes, they were complete full. I opened the lid so he could see. And I went, sorry, mate, ain't got any spares. And I said, did you do that to impress this girl you'd just been on your first date with? We went, yeah, she thought it was hilarious. And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound like a very cool thing to do. And I don't believe that she found it hilarious, but whatever. I'm sure this lie will be over soon. It wasn't. He's gone, well, so I've carried on walking. She's chuckling at how cheeky I am. Next thing I know, the cunt's run up behind me and jumped on my back, right? So I've spun round. He's going, you cunt. Give me a fag. I've spun round and thrown him off my back. Said, leave it, mate. You don't want to get involved. Well, he's pulled a knife out, next thing I know. And I go, oh, no. So this is an awful thing to have happened on a first date. And he went, yeah, well, you know, what with my training? Because it goes without saying, Dave the Liar claimed that he was in the territorial SAS.
Of course.
He goes, what my training? I disarmed him. I took the knife off of him. And then I stabbed him. And I said, hang on a minute, you stabbed a tramp. You went on a first date with this woman you've just met and you described it 5 minutes ago. You were describing it really casually as a date that went quite well. And now, just casually, you're revealing, just as an aside, that on the date you stabbed a tramp in front of her. Obviously, I didn't put it like that. I was more trying to lure him into further lies, which is something that I always enjoy doing. So I said, oh, you stabbed him, did you? So what happened next? He went, well, we just carried on walking back to her place, didn't we? And I said, so what became of the tramp after you'd stabbed him? And you could see his eyes flicking around, thinking, I've cornered myself here with this. Yeah. I went, well, he was just lying in a pool of blood. And I said, was he dead, Dave? And he went, well, put it this way, mate, he weren't moving.
Oh,
so
God.
I've gone, all right, let's recap. You went on a first date with a lovely young lady. You had dinner. It was great. She's invited you back to hers. Everything's going great. But on the way home, you murdered a homeless person in front of her. And he pauses and he goes, yeah, basically, yeah. And I go, well, that would put a lot of women off. Went, not her. We went back. I've got my leg over. So obviously she was, you know, she's not one of these sissy types. She's not a snowflake.
She might be into that sort of thing. Some women are.
Dave is such a liar. I have to stress, I'm not here pointing the finger at murder to anyone.
No.
He definitely, none of this happened.
No, no,
the tramp
happened.
Didn't exist.
No victim.
Not even the first bit where the tramp came up and asked for a fag happened.
Yeah.
None of it happened. The man is a colossal liar.
No one feels sorry for the tramp that was murdered because there was no tramp.
There was no tramp. There was no tramp.
This is all about Dave. And can I just say as well, can you remember, I'm sure you do, remember the Billy Liars Twitter account that I used to run?
Yeah,
and the
brilliant.
Billy Bullshit was the website.
Yeah.
And how have we been doing this podcast for almost 9 months and not explored that realm of bullshit?
Got into lies, yeah.
That's going to happen from now on.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you've got loads up your sleeve, particularly the most infamous of them all, Waspy.
Who we
will discuss on later shows, perhaps.
Yeah.
But Dave the Liar, I mean, I never contributed to your Billy Bullshit. I used to read it, but I never sent them in. I mean, Dave the Liar, as I'm calling him, I could fill pages with his lies.
Right,
I mean, that's
well,
not even his biggest lie.
This feels like an extra side project in addition to the other ones we've
already
come up with.
Podcast all about lies.
So tweet us your best bullshits that you've had from friends and colleagues and things like that at TF Time Machine on the Twitter. I'm going to do some news without news at this point, Sam, because it's a particularly strong crop I think I've got this weekend.
Yeah, I've seen
a lot.
Are
you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Here we go. Seagull mugs Scarborough Council for his cheese straw.
8.
Ooh, I would have gone 9 with that. You're harsh.
I've seen seagulls mug people before. I've been mugged by one for some fish and chips. So it's not, to me, that's not really shocking, but it is funny. So that's why I give it an 8.
I want to see the Scarborough councillor, though, because I've got an image in my head of what a Scarborough councillor looks like.
Yeah, looking
and it's
really
not a
pissed
councillor
off.
As in a therapist, it's a councillor as in an elected official. Second one. How a pot noodle almost killed a man and the hero in his undies who saved him.
10.
Thank you. And finally, ripped Schwarzenegger kangaroo who crushed metal buckets dies age 12.
10. 11. You want to see a kangaroo crushing metal buckets? It's sensational. I've never fancied, I don't know about you, but I've never fancied going to Australia. It seems too much of a pain in the ass for not enough reward.
Yeah,
but
too much danger.
If I'd known there was a fucking ripped kangaroo out there crushing metal buckets, I'd have been on the first plane out. It's a shame he's dead.
I didn't even click on the story. I haven't even looked at it myself, but I'm going to go back and do that.
Save it up for Christmas Day.
This is it!
Have you got time for your big cow story before we go?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's been built up too much, but it's not. But basically, it goes like this. The year was 1996. The whole Delaney family and sundry in-laws had all gone en masse to County Cork for Christmas New Year period and hired a house. I would have been just 21. I had only recently, I think that year, passed my driving test. And we all met up at Cork Airport, and there was an hour's drive. And because of the various people there and the amount of people that needed ferrying, we had to hire a sort of a minivan. And my oldest brother told me I had to drive it. And I said, I'm not sure about this. We're going a long way. And I've only been driving a couple of months. This is a big van, and we're going on dark country roads. I'm not sure.
Do it.
Don't, And he's just, fucking do it, you twat. Don't be a fucking idiot. Right? So I went, all right. But I was pretty nervous. And it was me, my girlfriend, Anna, now my wife, and my one of my Italian cousins. And we're driving along down these fucking dark, really treacherous roads. And they're shitting themselves because I keep nearly veering off the edge and it's like a sheer drop. And it was really like nervy. You know, when you first learn to drive, you don't need that shit, right? Yeah. I'm still fucking learning just to drive around London. We finally get near to this fucking house. You know, it's like you hire a cottage in the middle of nowhere, you get lost. It was pre-sat-nav. And yeah. I was so tense and nervous. And you see in the distance a twinkling light, right? And someone points and goes, that's it. That's the cottage. So I got so excited, having been lost and stressed for like hours driving around fucking County Cork. I've gone, brilliant. And I've literally just turned the steering wheel in the direction of the house, right? Because I'm so desperate to get there. I'm exasperated. And I've ended up going fucking into a field. It's so dark, I haven't realised, but I've gone off-road in this fucking van, a van that was incapable, really, of going off-road.
Yeah.
And quite quickly, my passengers have said, Sam, you're in a fucking field. You've gone off-road. And I've gone, fuck it. Fuck it. I'm just going to keep going, right? Because I just want to get to this fucking house. So I've gone fucking mad. And my girlfriend's like screaming, like, what the fuck are you doing? Turn around. And my cousin's like pissing himself laughing. And I'm just fucking ploughing ahead through this field. And of course, all that's happening in this muddy field is the wheels are start to spin and go fucking deeper and deeper and deeper into this fucking mud, right? In the end, it won't go any further. We're in the middle of a fucking field in the middle of nowhere on the west coast of Ireland. The house is still just a twinkling light in the fucking background, right? And we've had to get out. We've had to flag down, like, one of my brothers and show, like, you know, wave to them. They've seen that I'm stuck in there. They go, oh, fuck's sake, what's he done? They come over. We've had to unload the fucking van for the luggage. We've got loads of other people's luggage in it. And fucking walk like the fucking paras on Goose Green in the Falklands. We've had to march across this muddy field for fucking ages carrying bags because I've got the van stuck, the hired van, in the middle of the field. The next day, everyone's giving me loads of fucking shit about it, obviously, right? And we're thinking, what are we going to do? This is a hire fucking thing. We've got to return it to Avis or whatever at the end of the week. So there's a number in the house for the couple who live down the road who effectively manage this cottage.
Right.
So I call them up and I go, they go, hello there. And it's fucking real middle of fucking nowhere stuff, right? These people, I can't understand a word they're saying. Hello. Oh, hi, it's Santa Lady here. I'm one of the party staying in the house up the road. Oh, yes, yes, yes. What's the problem? You got a problem there? Yes, well, I've managed to get my van stuck in the field. You what? I've got my van stuck in the field. How'd you do a thing like that? So I was a bit confused. I've only just learned to drive, you see, and I panicked and went off-road and tried to drive to the cottage across the field.
I'm from the big city.
You bloody idiot. When you drive across the field, it's a perfectly good bloody road. I know. I don't know why I did it. I thought I could just get here across the field. But anyway, it's stuck, and I need someone to tow me out. You need towing out, do you? Yes, I don't know if you've got something like a truck or something like that, or we could get one in the village, someone to come and help. Perhaps a farmer. Oh, a farmer. Yes, a tractor maybe. No, it's absolutely fine. I tell you what we do. We've had these problems before. I can come down tomorrow with a big cow. And I said, I beg your pardon. And he went, we've got a big cow. Big cow. We've done it before. It's fine. We'll tie a rope to the cow and we'll pour the van out of the field. So we will. And I said, are you sure? I mean, it is a van. Is it a big cow? Oh, yes. Very big. We've used a buffet for this type of thing. Everyone knows this is the cow you use.
It's a job and for I've the cow, gone, this one.
And I've gone, wow, that's amazing. And I said, wow, that sounds really exciting. I can't wait to see her. And they went, yes, well, okay, I'll meet you tomorrow in the field at about 10 in the morning then. And I go, oh, okay, that's wonderful. Do you know what? I've got my nephew and niece with me. They'd love to come around and watch this, would they? Why would they like to see that? I said, well, it's amazing. I mean, they wouldn't have ever seen a thing like this before. And they go, well, bring who you want, but I'll be there at 10 o'clock. Just come along. So I've gone, right, great. And I've got off the phone. I'm really proud of myself. To the family, you've all been taking the mickey out of me for being in India.
I've got it all sorted,
everyone. Yeah. Don't worry. I've spoken to the lovely old couple from down the road. I've made friends with them. And guess what? So my nephew and niece are there, right? My nephew's probably about like two, and my niece is like four, and I've gone, kids, gather round. Uncle Sam's got a special treat for you tomorrow. In the village, in this village, there is a gigantic cow.
Magic that cow.
Everyone knows, and it's like the local village hero. I wouldn't say it's magical, but it certainly is a remarkable cow. And whenever the villagers have a problem, they call upon this cow. And sure enough, the cow is coming tomorrow, and the cow is going to drag Uncle Sam's van out of the muddy field so Uncle Sam doesn't lose his deposit. Would you like to come and see the cow? And they're like, oh, it's a big giant cow. How big is it? I said, oh, it's bigger than the biggest cow you've ever seen. It'll be two or three times the size. They go, oh, I can't wait. The cow, we're all going to go and see the cow. So the next morning comes. Everyone knows about this cow. The kids have come, and so have some of their parents, like my sister-in-laws and all these sorts of people. And we've all marched into this fucking field, right? Quite a long hike out to where the van is sunk down to its fucking mudguards, right? And in the distance, I see a Land Rover coming through the field. And sure enough, it's the elderly couple who run the place. An old Irish farmer and his wife. He gets out and he goes, here we are then. Right. Hello there. You must be Sam.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm there like a complete student drip with my long hair and sideburns and just looking like I just don't... Probably wearing like really thin trainers in the middle of this muddy field, you know. Inappropriately dressed. He's looking up and down. Oh, you're Sam, are you? You must be the fella who tried to drive across the field.
Yeah, that's me. How did you guess?
Don't worry now. We'll soon pull it out. I'll go and get me rope. Now, tie this rope to your car, to the bumper there.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to the kids. Oh, yeah. In a minute, the cow will come and we'll tie the other end probably round the cow's tummy, I imagine.
Okay, now, give me the other end of the rope. He's come and looked at how I tie. What the bloody hell are you doing? That's not a knot. I've tied it like shoelaces.
Yeah.
Dad, do you not know how to tie a bloody knot? That's not going to hold. So he ties it for me and then he ties the other end to the Land Rover. And I go, where are you tying this rope? He goes, to the cow over there. And I go, the what? To the cow. And then it dawned on me. He wasn't saying cow. He was saying fucking car. But he had such a fucking thick accent. I swore blind he'd said cow to me loads of times. So I just thought, play it cool. I don't want to be an idiot. But my niece has started giving it, where's the cow? And the man's going, what's that? Where's the cow? I'm going, shut up, Maddie. Shut up. She's going, I won't shut up. He said you were bringing a cow. A cow? Yeah. A cow that says moo, you mean? Yeah, he said you had a big cow that was going to come and it was magical and it helped you all in the village and it was going to pull the van out of the village. I never heard anything so stupid in my life. A cow can't pull a great bloody thing like that out of the village. What are you talking about? And I'm going, she's just making up stories. She loves cows. She's making up stories. No, you said it. I don't know what any of you are talking about. There's no cow here. Now tie this bloody knot and let's get going. And and sure enough, the Land Rover's got it out, no problem at all.
Oh.
I've got the van home, and it was very embarrassing. And that's my cow story.
That's your big cow story. I'm as disappointed as your niece was, to be honest. Yeah. I was looking forward to hearing about the cow.
No fucking cow. He was just saying car, and I'd got it in mind, because I was a city boy in the country, you imagine things, remarkable things to be going on in the countryside that don't really exist. So he did pronounce the word car like cow. But at the same time, I think in my mind, I was all too willing to believe that there was a magical giant cow in this village in County Cork.
I think we've come full circle there, and what we've ended up with is kind of like hidden racism again.
Exactly. I made assumptions based on a misguided prejudice.
Making assumptions about the Irish country ways.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is.
Exactly. Right. It wouldn't have occurred to me that he had a four-wheel drive fucking perfectly good Land Rover.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was too snooty to imagine such a thing.
Right, that's all we've got time for. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TF Time Machine if you're into that kind of thing. And we'll be back on Wednesday morning with the first episode of The Keegan Odyssey.
Ooh.
Oh, you will not be disappointed. That's all I've got to say about that. Right, thanks for listening as ever. And see you soon, Sam.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.